Amen. Thank you, my brother. That was awesome. Well, in our pastor's absence, he has asked a longtime friend of Dr. Mickey Carter. He's also taught here at the college. He's pastored, and he is now an evangelist. And he has asked him to bring the message this morning. This is John Hankins. Come on and preach to us, my brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. To some of you folks, as the brother just said, I'm probably a stranger, and some I'm not. When I walked in this morning, my wife and I, folks remember my name even. Some that's been here for a long time. And I pastored in Ohio for 28 years. No booze, amen. I'm just a Buckeye. And then pastored down Florida a lot. In 2007, I resigned pastor and went into evangelism. So we've been traveling a lot. And I'm glad to have my wife, Dorothy, staying, honey. Next week, we'll be married 64 years. I told preacher friends that I put up with her, and they said, I think it's the other way around. Probably so. But we go way back, actually. A lot of you just see me for the first time, but we go way back to 1987. We had a young man, his wife moved down here to go to college. So we stopped by a church I pastored in Ohio, sent my wife and I two-way trip to Israel. And we didn't know who we was going with, so we stopped by to visit that family, and just so happened that Landmark was going to Israel, and I told my wife, I said, here's who we're going with. So that was 1987. We went to Israel, and that's when I got acquainted with Landmark Baptist College, Landmark Baptist Church. Dr. Carter and I have been friends for a long time. I know him better than Dr. Parsons, but I'm getting to know Brother Parsons pretty well. I used to pastor in Sebring Independent Baptist Church. And by the way, I'm going to, pastor didn't tell me to say this, neither pastor, but Landmark Baptist Church used to help support Independent Baptist Church. When I went there and had eight people took it. Now it's really growing. Brother Goodwin's doing a good job, and the church gave us monthly payments. I called Dr. Carter one day, and I said, Dr. Carter, we're going to burn the mortgage. He almost passed out. So now I left there after I resigned and went down to Lake Placid, which was Bethel Baptist, and now it's Highlands Baptist. And just, you know, just last week, we burnt a mortgage there. So thank the Landmark Baptist Church, everyone that gave on behalf of the pastors. They didn't ask me to do it, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Just a real blessing. So we're debt-free now. And they're having a business meeting tonight after church, which my wife and I won't be there. But they're having a business meeting to give the pastor a salary where that he can call all the other churches and pastors that's been supporting him for over a year. And he'll drop them, and our church will start paying his salary. I teach Sunday school every Sunday morning down there. We're live stream, and people, and we've had folks visiting from Missouri and all up north said they've been watching it. So that's a blessing. Amen. And I know Brother Martin there. God bless you, Brother Martin. And just one other quick thing. There's a young man standing. You probably don't know that I recommend him come to this church when he moved to Florida. I baptized him when he was 12 years of age. And that's Mark Fletcher. He's standing back there behind that desk back there. Brother Mark, wave your hand. His father was my song leader for about 15 years. And I baptized Mark, got him up out of that water, amen, and had a part in Mark and Tammy's wedding out in Minnesota, wasn't it? Minnesota. Come from a good King James Bible believing church, and then he moved to Florida and couldn't find a church. And I said, where do you live? He said, Davenport. And I said, there's one right down the road from you. You need to try it out. So he came and liked it. And if he calls you a problem, I didn't say anything. But if he's a blessing, then I recommend him come. Amen. But I'll say this one other thing. 1987, Dr. Carter met me. He's in that right over there where those folks are studying. And we were here for Sunday school. And after Sunday school, he walked back and he said, Brother Hankins, how about you preaching tonight? Didn't know me. So that was a blessing. I said, I wish I could, but I'm preaching in Bradenton, Trinity Baptist. But we went to Israel. I'll tell you this, and then I'll get preaching. We went to Israel, and coming back on a jumbo jet, 450 people, and I said, that plane will never get off the ground. But we made it back, and there was a man walked over to where I was sitting. I didn't like to fly because Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. Amen. That's an old joke, but anyhow. There was a man walked over in my aisle where I was sitting, and he stood about 10 hours and interrogated me, what I believed and so forth. And I went back home, pastoring in Springfield, Ohio at that time. And the next week, he called and said, Brother Haynes, I think God wants you to come teach in our college. I said, oh, no, no, not me. I just barely made it through college myself. I went to Midwestern Baptist College, Dr. Tom Malone. Probably some of you heard of him back in the 60s, early 70s. And so anyhow, he said, would you pray about teaching in Landmark Baptist College? I said, well, I'll pray about it. And guess what? And him and his wife are here this morning, too. Dr. Earl, Sister Barbara Lee. Good friends of ours. I'm from a little village of 500 in southern Ohio, Cold Grove, Ohio. Has anyone ever heard of Cold Grove, Ohio? Brother Mark, you're the only one. But anyhow, I said that back in 1987 when I preached. I said, now no one's ever heard of Cold Grove, Ohio. And back on the back row, some man said, amen. That was Brother Pritchard. Come to find out, his uncle lived across the street from us. And he had been up there visiting his uncle. A small world, amen. Even more than that, you can't hide from God. He sees you all the time too, amen. Just throw that in extra there for you. And that was a real blessing. And we taught for 14 years. There's a man here this morning that came to college the same year that I started teaching. And you all know him too, because I hear he's a great teacher. Let's see, what's his name now? I think it's Bradley. Brother Bill, I saw you somewhere a while ago. Where is he? There he is. Oh, there he is, way back there. You're not backsliding, are you? No, Brother Bill Bradley was one of the first students I taught in 1987. I hear he's doing a fantastic job. Been here about 20 years, Brother Bill. Amen. Doing a good job. Keep it up. Amen. All right. That's enough of that. We need to get going here. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I just want to read just a few verses, and I'm going to talk to you about the power of a mediator. The power of a mediator. Let's just start reading at verse 3, save a little bit of time. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, thank God for that, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. We heard about this in Sunday school this morning. If you missed Sunday school, you missed a good lesson Brother Perkins taught. He said there's only one God. Amen. But look what the verse says. For there is one God and what? One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The mediator is one that goes in between two extremes, reconciles. We're enemies of God. And Jesus held a hand out to we that are lost on our way to hell. If we'll trust him and believe in him, he'll unite us with God. Amen. He's the mediator. Lift us out of the deep part of sin and set us on a solid rock and establish our going. Amen. That's what Jesus has done. And also, he's an advocate. He is a intercessor, the Lord Jesus. And thank God that once we've been reconciled, we have been made a part of God's family, a born-again Christian. Now, I was saved. Some of you probably won't believe this, but I was saved 75 years ago at a one-room country church, pot-bellied stove, and an altar, mourner's bench, we used to call it, in a 12-week revival. And God blessed in a great way, raised in a Christian home, Dorothy and I both. We met in high school in 53, wasn't allowed to get married till he was 21, so we waited till 1959, built us a home, and had our wedding reception in our new home after we got back from Niagara Falls. So we had a lot of time to plan, amen? But God put us together. She came in my big village. She went to a two-room school out in the boondocks. Matter of fact, as Dr. Malone used to say, you can't even get there from here. You got to go somewhere else to get there. You know. But she graduated the eighth grade and then moved in high school, in my high school, of about 70 people probably. And that's where we met, and God put us together, and we've been serving the Lord all these. And we're just I just changed our life's verse. You have a life's verse? I mean, do you really go by your life's verse? My life's verse I got in 1970 when Dr. Malone challenged us when we was in college. And I picked out, I thought I'd get a short one, but I got a long one. It's Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only place the word success is mentioned in the whole Bible is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. I claimed that verse, and I had to go back. And if I had to live my life over again, I just want to do more for the Lord. He'd been so good to us and so kind and gracious and protected and taken care of us. And I'm not success in sight of the world, but whatever success, we give God the credit for it. Amen. I'm right behind Dr. Carter, by the way. I just passed 85, and I'm going to keep preaching. Matter of fact, we're going to Ohio and Kentucky in June, July, and part of August. And I don't know why they want to hear this old man, but I still have something to say, amen? Because I know who I'm talking about, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I met him years and years ago, baptized in a creek, had to break the ice, and all of those things. So that's enough about me, but I'll just give you a little introduction about things. One, who's that guy up there, you know? But it's very important for us to understand there's only one mediator between God and man. And that man is Christ Jesus. The Pope is not the mediator. The priest is not the mediator. The pastor is not the mediator. Sunday school is not the mediator. There's only one, and there always will be just one. His name is Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. And in the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 10, the last of it says, We are saved by his life. That doesn't mean the life that he lived. He lived a good life. He lived a sinless life. He had no guile in his mouth. He had no sin in him. He's perfect, amen? Jesus was God, is God, and always will be God. So there's nothing wrong with him. Something's wrong with us, though. So we got to get reconciled to God. We're an enemy of God. We got to get reconciled with Him. And how important that is. And that Romans chapter 5 verse 10, where we're saved by His life, that means His resurrected life. Thank God He died on a cross. He was buried. In 3 days He said, "You're going to hear from me again. I'll be back." Amen. And He came back out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And we're saved because His death, His burial, His resurrection. That's the gospel. It's not the gospel truth. It's just the gospel, which the gospel is the truth. Amen. How important that is in our lives. So the word advocate is very important in the Bible. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, we have an advocate we can go to, a lawyer, a go-between. We have an intercessor. He's praying for us as born-again Christians. Now, if you're not saved this morning, Jesus would like for you to get saved. He says here that he'd like for all people to be saved. And Peter said, "I don't want anyone to perish. Everyone come to repentance." So it's very important for us to know Jesus as Savior. But you remember Jesus told Peter, He said, "I pray for you, Peter." He's praying for us, amen? The real Lord's Prayer is John 17, not the model prayer. So the real prayer is that He pray for us, and He's praying for us today. He's watching over, He's caring for us, He's interceding for us. How many times we could probably testify just around the corner, maybe a big accident, but something happened and we couldn't make it around that corner, and God protected and took care of us and everything. How important that is. To get back to the mediator, now I know I took a big part of introduction, but I'll try to get through, no doubt, by 1 o'clock anyhow. No, just kidding. I've asked someone. When I used to preach, Dr. Lee would have me preach in college. We used to have a student from Ocala. He'd drive down, and he wouldn't say amen. But when I preached in chapel, he'd say, "Preach!" Just like your brother said. And he'd say, "Preach!" He wouldn't say amen. He just said, "Preach." I don't know who that was. I don't guess he's here, is he? I don't know where he is now. Forget his name. But anyhow, he just wants preaching. And that's what we need today. We need some good old hard-fashioned preaching. We were raised on fire and brimstone. Hell, fire, and brimstone preaching. And the old pastor, country preacher, had a sixth grade education, act like he was fighting bees. But boy, did he preach. He said, "When God put a period, don't you dare put a question mark." So what God said, you know, God don't need our approval. I used to say when I was a young preacher, I thought it was very smart. "God said it, I believe it." That settles it. But we can leave part of that out. God said it, that settles it. He doesn't need my approval in the Word of God, amen? So you come back tonight, I have something a little special for you tonight. Kind of a familiar passage, but something I've learned out of it not too long ago, and I'm going to share it with you tonight. But I want to mention these seven times. I won't get through my message this morning, but the word mediator I found out in the Bible. I love to read the Bible. I was challenged in 1969 to read through the Bible once every year until Jesus comes. So you can figure it up. I've missed a lot. A lot went over my head. A lot I didn't understand it. But I've preached a lot of things I don't understand. If the Bible says it's worth preaching, amen. And when we get to heaven, we'll understand it. But notice the word mediator. Turn back to Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to give you these seven. I think it's important. You can study about them later. But Galatians chapter 3, to my knowledge, whatever that's worth, is the first one that is mentioned here in, is not mentioned. Now, kinsman redeemer is mentioned in the Old Testament, but not mediator, okay? So, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a" what? "Mediator." Look in the next verse. It's mentioned twice in verse 20. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Thank you, Brother Perkins, for that good lesson this morning. Remind us there's only one God. The world says there's a lot of gods, but there's only one God. I remember I had a student from India. He raised his hand. I'm not a professor. I never claimed to be a professor. But he called me and said, "Professor, I got a question I got to ask you." He said, "I'm going back to India to start a church." And he said, "We have 8 million gods in India. And you say there's only one." He said, "How am I going to go back and tell 8 million people there's only one God when they worship 8 million gods?" I said, "Boy, you almost stumped me, but I think I got an answer. Just give them the scriptures. That'll do it, amen." I'm glad the word of God will bring conviction in people's life. That's what churches need today. And long as God gives me health and strength, I want to continue to preach the word. As Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word!" I still got a little voice too, amen. So I hope a lot of preachers have told me, a lot of congregations have said, "John don't need a microphone. He don't need a PA system. Just let him preach, you know." But every now I get excited every now and then because of my Jesus. I like the radio station, and Brother Keith Carringer is our pastor right now. As you know him, he worked on the radio station, and we watched some of the Share-a-thon, wasn't it? And anyhow, how important it is to be able to stick with the Word of God. It gets the job done. And Brother Keith is doing a good job down in Lake Placid, and we're glad that he's our pastor. I kind of outrank him a little bit, but I think it's sometimes harder to be a second man than it is the first man. But anyhow, we're enjoying Brother Keith and doing a good job. He's teaching my Sunday school class this morning. So thank the Lord for that. All right, real quickly, turn to the 1 Timothy 2:5. I just gave you that one. Maybe we can skip that one. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Then look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8. Book of Hebrews, chapter 8. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4 so far, and this is the fifth one. Hebrews, chapter 8. And verse 6. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." I am told the key word in the book of Hebrews is the word "better," mentioned 13 times in there. So Jesus makes everything better, doesn't he? He makes our salvation better. He makes our life better. I'm going to speak about the home tonight. He makes our home better. How wonderful. I hope you come tonight and bring somebody with you, and so you can invite Jesus in your home. I remember when we got married, Dorothy and I, her father and my parents were good Christians and went to church. And I remember Mr. Bruce, Dorothy's father, right after we were married, he said, "Now, John Dot," you know, he had the right to call her Dottie. So it was, her name's Dorothy. "So John and Dot, if you'll put Jesus Christ first in your home and give him at least 10% of your income, you can have a good Christian home that God will be pleased with." Amen. We've tried to do that. And I challenge everyone here this morning, if you haven't, you say, "I can't afford it." You can't afford not to. If you want to be blessed of God. All right, I'm going to give you the next one. Look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. "And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament," and so forth. I'm just trying to save a little bit of time here. And then look in chapter 12, verse 24. You notice several in Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews, don't you? It's a wonderful book. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 24. It says this, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." I wrote down when I was studying the book of Hebrews, I wrote it down in the first part. Let's see if I can find it here real quickly for you. I wasn't planning on saying this, but it came to my mind, so I'm going to do it. This is what Hebrews talks about. Jesus is much better than Moses. Amen. And he's much better than the prophets and the angels and Joshua. He's better than the high priest because Jesus is the great high priest. Amen. Matter of fact, once we get saved and born again, we're priests. And we can go directly to God. Isn't that amazing? When Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom, not bottom to top. But it shows that God did it. Now I can go directly into God. I don't have to go to you or anybody else to pray for me. Although you need to pray for us. Pray for one another. But we can go directly into God and talk to Him. That's how important that is. So He's better than Melchizedek, better than Abraham, and better than Aaron and the Old Covenant, the Old Testaments, and better than the law, better than heroes. It's just a little thing I found out in the book of Hebrews there. He's a better way, He's a better hope, better promises, better resurrection, better country, better inheritance. Jesus is better in everything. Why? Because He's the mediator. And you know why He could do all that? It's because He's God. I remember when I was a young preacher in 65, another thing people used to say, 50-50. No, God's 100% God, and He's 100% man. Not 50-50. He's 100%. And God can do what He wants to, and we must accept the Word of God as inspired of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. I don't have to tell you folks that. How wonderful it is. I'm going to close with, I'm not going to get near through, but I'm going to close with a verse that I was saved on back in January of 1948 in a 12-week revival. My birthday's in January. I just turned 85. Dr. Carter's got me a little over a year, year and a half, I think. So we've been kind of running the race since 1987. We talk about that and everything. And I love Dr. Carter, Mrs. Carter. I'm learning to love Brother Parsons. I didn't know him till he started coming down here to Highlands. Didn't know him before. But Dr. Carter's been a real jewel to Miss Hankins and I. And we've had some wonderful fellowships together. But here's the verse I was saved on. Everybody can quote it. You already know what it is, don't you? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Here's what I found. I'm not taking credit for all of this. Some of it may be original of me and some not. I read parts, some in a book one time, a little bit. But John 3:16 in the King James Bible has 25 words in it. You know what the center word is? S-O-N. So that means there's 12 words before son, there's 12 words after son. That makes 25 words. You take the word son out of John 3:16, you don't have a complete verse. The first 12 words tells us what God did. For God so loved that He gave. The last 12 words tells us what we must do. We must believe. And we'll not perish but have everlasting life. The middle man The mediator is the Lord Jesus. S-O-N, capital S-O-N. He's right in the middle of that verse. You know where he is right now in the heart of believers? He's right in the middle. He's in my heart, amen? And he's been there. You know where the cross, have you ever looked at this? I did one day and I was so shocked. You know where the cross, or you know where Jerusalem is? It's right in the middle of the whole earth. God somehow put it right in the middle so from north, south, east, and west can look and see that. Matter of fact, I get in prophecy there about people coming from the north, south, east, and west, you know, across the Euphrates River and different things during the end time. But think about, just give you something to think about today if you haven't heard it before. If you've heard it before, just let on like this the first time you ever heard it. John 3:16, 25 words. The middle word is S-O-N. He connects. Jesus reached down in the pits of hell, pits of sin, when one day he found me. I didn't find him. Amen. Well, way out in the country. Cold Grove is actually not even, it's a half a mile from Ohio River, and it's, Ohio comes in a point, and I was born right there in that point. And then here's Kentucky, 1 mile to Kentucky, and 15 miles to West Virginia. So we're in the tri-state area, right on the Ohio River. And I remember the Lord found me in a 12-week revival. I was 10 years of age. I hadn't committed any great crime yet. I hadn't been put in jail yet. I'm 10 years of age, but he pointed out through the Holy Spirit of God, through the Word of God, through the preaching, that if I did not believe, I was going to die and go to hell. I was already on my way to hell. Aren't you glad it tells us in John chapter 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned what? Already. Why? Because he had not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So you must believe. Not with the head. I remember the old country preacher say some folks are going to miss heaven about 16 inches. They believe it in their head, but they don't receive him in their heart. That's where he belongs. And Brother Perkins, thank you, sir. Are you Brother Perkins? That's Brother Perkins right there, folks. I'm embarrassed. I forgot his name. First time I met him this morning. but I remember the old time preachers used to talk so much about heaven and hell and the fire and the brimstone. And if you do not believe, you're going to die and go to hell and burn there forever. And there's no escape. No escape. People want out. We know, talks about that in Luke 16, doesn't it? But I'm glad there's no escape from heaven, too. Who would want to leave that wonderful place? But I'm going there. And one verse I was going to use, actually it's three verses, in Peter chapter 1, verse 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his mercy he hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, faith is not away, reserved in heaven for you, kept by the power of God. Amen. So we have a lot in store for us. I got a little double wide down here in Sebring. We've lived there for 27 years. And I've told our family, our daughter, don't expect much from mom and dad. But our inheritance is in heaven, amen. And some people plan on this worldly thing instead of heavenly. Read Colossians chapter 3. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Well, that's where Jesus is. That's where the mediator is. Amen. Well, I know I could preach and I'm supposed to quit and give the invitation. And I'm an evangelist now. I try to abide by all of that. You pray for Dorothy and I. We always want to serve the Lord. We're both in fairly good health. I went through a little bit of health problems, but I think I'm back kicking now pretty good. So just pray for us that we can be used of the Lord, and asking Him for His direction. But if you're here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're missing the greatest thing that could ever happen to you in your life. Amen. By repenting of your sins and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the greatest decision you could ever make. Amen. Now, I made a good decision when we got married, but my greatest decision I ever made in my life is when I went forward in a one-room country church and got on my knees. Matter of fact, I'm going to preach back there next month, June and July. I'll be preaching in the church I got saved in. They tore the one-room church down, built a bigger one, but the same altar is still there. And I always go back and I kneel, get on my knees, and thank God for saving me right along in here, Brother Perkins. For God saved me. And before I preach in that church, I get down on my knees and thank God for saving me. I may not remember the time, but I sure remember the place. And what the inspiration sang all the time on your radio station, I don't remember my first birth, but I can't forget my second birth. Amen. I like to talk about it. I like to preach about it. So you have to bear with me. But wouldn't you like to go to heaven? Wouldn't you like to receive everything the Lord has given you, inheritance? You know what all you're going to take with you? Nothing. Amen. Not a thing. Right. Not a thing. Some people have big insurance policies. You're not going to take a bit of insurance with you. Right. Job said, naked came I into the world, naked shall I return hither. But wouldn't you like to go to heaven with us? And what if Jesus would come today? He's not going to wait on you. He's got a set time. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we do know He's coming again. And you must make that decision. Make that decision today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us to be here to fill in for Dr. Parsons this morning. Thank you, dear Lord, for this church and what it's meant to us over all these years since we got acquainted in 1987. Lord, it's just been a real blessing, and the people have been so kind and gracious, and I miss a lot of people we worship with. But Lord, one of these days we have a promise, a reunion going to take place. And we just ask you now, Lord, if there's one under the sound of our voice that does not know Jesus Christ in the pardon and remission of sin, and knowing if they do not know, if they die right now, they'd go where they'd go, may they come forward and let someone take the Bible and show them how to be saved this morning. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, and Brother Perkins stand down here waiting, I just wonder, I'll finish my prayer by praying for you. Is there someone here this morning, right now, say, I'm not 100% for sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I want you to pray for me. Is there one anywhere? Would you slip your hand up? Anybody on my right? Anybody in the middle? Anybody on the left? I'm not 100% for sure. The Bible says that we can know for sure. It's not a guessing game. It's a know-so salvation. We're going to pray, finish our prayer, and then we'll stand and have our brother sing for us. Our Father in heaven, we love you. Thank you, God, for giving your only begotten Son, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the privilege of being here this morning, being able to open the Word of God up. Be with us tonight in the service. May everyone come back, and may you speak to hearts. But Lord, save that person that is closest to hell. May they realize there is only one mediator no church, the Catholic Church, Baptist Church. We can't save anybody, but we can point the one that can save them. That's Jesus Christ. So, Lord, if there's a person here this morning that does not know for sure that heaven's their home, help them to walk down this aisle and receive Jesus Christ as Savior this morning. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will, please.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood.
You need to come for any other reason. You come this morning.
Me,
come for baptism.
And that
membership, rededication. Most of all for salvation.
Let me just say something to you right quick. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ and he's tugging on your heart and you want to walk down that aisle, don't let pride keep you in that seat. Let me say something to you. Everybody in this room has got to make the same decision. And there's only two places that you're going to go if you was to die today, and that's heaven or hell. And everybody in this room has made that decision. If you're without Christ, you've decided that if you die today, you're going to hell. And if you've given your life to Christ, then you're going to heaven. There's nobody in this room that's going to laugh at you. We're all in the same boat. Either we're on our way to heaven or we're on our way to hell. All I'm asking you to do is don't leave here today going to hell. If you're not 100% sure that if you was to walk out of this building killed in a car accident, God forbid, you've heard the gospel over and over and over, won't you walk that aisle and give your life to Christ? I'll be right here. Somebody will take a Bible and show you without a doubt how you can know that heaven will be your home. We're going to sing another verse. Go ahead, brother.
Just as I am, poor wretched blind, sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Well, it's been a good morning. I've enjoyed it, amen. And thank Brother John Hankins, and he's going to be back tonight. He's got something special for us, so be sure to come back tonight. Bring a friend. And so we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day that you've given us. We thank you for the message that we've heard this morning, Father. And we do pray, Lord, that nobody will leave this building without Christ today. And Father, we just ask that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you, and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.